about you, I'm not very religious. You know, some religious, let me give you a little example. Go out here to We Told 'Em, standing there talking to a friend of mine. He'd quit church and got upset or whatever the case might be. Don't matter about all that. And I'm standing there. He said, yeah, he said, I quote Psalms 91 every day. Every day I quote Psalms 91. You know, he gives his angels charge, no plague, you know. Angel of the Lord camped around about us, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, he's not going to church. Like that. And I thought, no, don't tell me that. Lord, I was enjoying this. And I said, where are you going to church, brother? Well, I ain't. Well, see, that's affecting him. God didn't want me to know that. I didn't even want to know that. You know, that's none of my business. You know, but God was wanting to tell him, Psalms 91 is not going to do you a lot of good unless you go after me. Unless you go and do my will, Psalms 91 ain't going to do you a lot of good. And so I just told him, I said, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Whatever your reason is, it ain't none of my business, man. I said, but whatever it is, get over it. Get over it and get, you know what he's doing? He's pastoring a church today. Hey, hella, you're going to get dedicated if you pastor. I can't be like y'all, just lay out when I want to. Y'all get up, I don't think I'm going to church this morning. Let me try that and see what y'all do. Y'all be riding in the street over it. What kind of pastor is he? Just lay out a church. I told him one time, I said, I'm going to lay out just like y'all do, some of y'all. Not y'all. We're talking to them on the internet. Hallelujah. But God's word, see, in order to be successful in the Lord, God's word has to become first say and final authority in your heart and life and your mind. What that means, I covered a little of it Monday. I used to be a quitter. I quit jobs. I quit my marriage. Committed adultery. All kinds of garbage back under. Been a lot of years. I've been faithful for a lot of years. And you know what? I got born again, and I began to read God's word. And most of God's word, I didn't even like it. Y'all shocked that I'm saying that. Y'all don't like some of it either. When it says for you to love your enemy, and there's people that you really hate, you don't like that. I didn't like that. I shut the Bible and I said, I don't like that. Well, you know, people say something to me that, well, you don't know what they've done to me. I mean, that's God's word is not first place in my heart yet. See, when it becomes first place in my heart and it says love your enemies, it's not a religious thing. It's not a religious thing. It's not a church thing. It's not a Christian bunch thing. It's about life for me. It's about me being set free so that I can really, truly love those that stole the guitars. I don't want them to get, I put out a $500. I got money in my pocket, homie. I put out a $500 reward to the person that leads me to the people that took God's instruments. They ain't even of mine. That's why I don't sweat it. They didn't take nothing from me. They messed with the wrong one, wrong church. I told them, I said, they're not even going to jail. I don't know. I just want to meet them. Just want to meet them. I'm going to win them to Jesus. Hallelujah, I promise you. And then somebody's going to get $500. Y'all put it out down here in Bluntsville, y'all Bluntsville folks. Get it spread out. Christmas is here. And it's down at Faithway. He wants to bless the ones that stole the guitars, man. Y'all just own up to it. He don't even want them back. He said he was wanting to upgrade the instruments anyways. You think I'm kidding you? I forgave them before they ever took it. Why? God's word is first place in my heart. The Bible says for me to forgive so God can forgive me for getting upset at y'all for not coming to church. Right? It says forgive so my heavenly Father can forgive me. See, I got to be in a state of forgiveness. But I can't do it on my own. I couldn't forgive my enemies. I couldn't love my enemies back on my own. I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to kill them. You know, maybe you ain't never been to the point where there's people you wanted dead, you wanted to help them out. That's fine. Hopefully you never experienced that, but that's awful. That's bondage. That's not freedom. You lay at night and you think about that enemy that did you wrong, and you plot and you plan and all that, and you steam like pinto beans in a crock pot. But boy, when the Bible says, "Whom the Son has set free is free indeed." We already been set free. The minute that we give our heart to Jesus, we were set free from everything. I'm talking about from sin. I'm talking about from unforgiveness, oppression. But it's up to me and you to choose to walk out of that and walk away and let God replace all of that with love and with joy. And you know what? It takes a man to love his enemy. It ain't no weak person loving no enemy. It takes a real man and a real woman to get to the place with God to where they can give that person and put that person on the altar and don't want any hardship to come to that. That's letting God's word be first place. Did you know that we did Jesus wrong and God wrong and he loved us anyways? We didn't serve him. We were against him. A guy told me one time, he said, "No, I would never be against the Lord." I said, "Are you saved?" "No, but I'd never be." I said, "The Bible says you are either for him or against him." I said, "You know, you can think you're not against God if you want to, but if you're not born again, you are against him." See, now those words, people used to tell me, "Well, brother, you don't need to judge." I ain't judging nobody. That Bible says I'll know you and you'll know me by what? Our fruit. There ain't no judge. There's only one judge. And we will stand before him one day, every one of us. And I'm not going to say, "Well, God, Sandy didn't act right, so I quit pastoring. Had her little temper tantrum." She's had them, Robert. Just, she ain't told you about them. She probably has told him. Don't tell him. You're all good. I've had them too. Leave out and tell God, let them go to hell. Just let them go to hell. I've laid my life down and they don't want to come to church. Just let them. That's having a temper tantrum. Right? Teresa, one time I told her she got over there to turn the heat down or whatever she's going to do. And I told her, "Don't turn it down much." Boy, I mean, flew all over her, all like stink on a skunk. She ain't never coming to church here again. Out of the bank, tell her what to do. That's a tantrum. Why can't I tell you what to do? I'm the pastor. Right? Y'all are quiet. But y'all still here. I'm still here. When we get right with the Lord, we want to go to church. We want to forgive. We want to love one another. We want to walk with one another. We want to see one another prosper. We want to see one another do good and have success and get healed and get blessed and walk blessed. See, y'all can't buy me Corvettes and stuff broke, folks. Y'all going to be going down the road with your little blessed self, and you're going to be so fulfilled in the Lord, and then you're gonna be like, "God, what do you want me to do?" And God's going to say, "Bye, Scotty and Mercedes." You're going to say, "Oh, God, I can't wait. Where's it at, Lord?" I do it all the time. I go down the road, and I'm like, "Who can I bless? Lord, Lord, you know, who can I bless? Who can I buy a car for?" I just bought a new car the other day. That's about 35 or 40. I quit counting. I just quit counting. My little broke self down there and all about myself. I used to work for a guy and I'd drive his truck home, steal his gas. Fill it up before I go home, man. Anyone of me drive on with a diesel, I'm like, "I thought I don't want to drive a diesel. I ain't got nothing burns diesel. I'd rather drive the gas burner." I told him one day, I said, "You know what? I said, that new truck you bought, that sucker sucks gas. Have you noticed I'm having to fill it up a lot?" I said, "It's got the 350 in it." I was covering myself, Mac. I'm driving it and drawing the gas out. That devil boy, he's cunner, ain't he? But you know what? When I got saved, I stopped stealing windows and felt. I stopped stealing all that. You know, they put a bunch of throwing a bunch of 16-penny nails away. And Jack had them cleaning out all the nails and stuff, and he's having them throw it in the dumpster. And I went and I thought, I'm going to get me some of them nails. You know, they're throwing them away, and God said, you ain't asked for them. I said, they're in the dumpster. He said, unless you ask, they're not yours. Well, I used to be a taker, so God knows what he's doing. Everybody might not take that route. You see what I'm saying? God knows how to get my heart to where he wants it to be. And so I told my brother, he said, you want them nails? I said, yeah, but I got to ask Jack. Oh, they're throwing them in the garbage. I said, God just told me to ask. God? I said, yeah, God. You know God? I said, I'm saved now, man. I heard God. So I go in there and I said, Jack, I said, I was just wondering, buddy, if I could have some of them nails. Sugar, get the whole dumpster. I said, thank you. See, it wasn't about the nails. It was about obedience to the one that saved me. It was about him with wanting, he could have cared less about those nails. If those nails were in the dumpster, they were in the garbage. But it was about God dealing with my heart. He was wanting me to obey him and be willing to ask whether I thought it everybody. Listen, God had me one time, I heard Joyce Meyer. Some people say, I don't like women preachers. Well, they're all in the Bible, sweetheart. The first message to the disciples was a woman. Jesus sent her. Tell him I'll meet him over yonder. It was a woman. Wonder where all them he-men was. But she's like, you know, if you go to Walmart, put your buggy back. Now was the world worse to leave the buggy. Just let them run all over the parking lot, hit cars. Well, they shouldn't have parked her. I mean, you know, before I got saved, I'll push it into a car. Idiot parked too close to me. Boom. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, it's a woman preacher. It's a woman preacher that said, I didn't like woman preachers. I didn't believe they're supposed to. I believe that, like the Bible says, they're supposed to be silent in the church. Keep your mouth shut, women. If they spoke to church, I thought, boy, she's out of place. I heard that doctrine. One scripture in churches and people make a doctrine out of it. One scripture. See, you got to let two or three things come together out of the Word of God to make a doctrine out of it. You can't take this one scripture and make a doctrine. See, when I found out that women sat on one side of the church in the time that Paul was straightening these women out and getting them to quit disrupting the service, talking during the service. Women sit on one side, men sit on one side. And Paul said, let her ask her husband when they get home. Evidently, that tells me they were asking inside the service. And so I thought, yep, woman preacher. Then I'm reading in the Bible, and all of a sudden I realized that the first woman, I don't know why I'm on this. This is not in my sermon. You got a problem with God using women, you better get your heart right. He's trying to use your wife. He uses mine all the time. I went in this evening, had the TV box over here. It sits here, she sits here, and we got, you know, a little thing there. And so I get it up, and I set it over here. She goes in there, and she said, what's up? What's up with that? Where's the TV box? I thought, who does she think she is? And I walked in the living room, and I said, it's over there. Okay, I said, but this is my house. No, it's not here. It's not your house. This is, you live here. You just stay here. The TV box belongs over here. You know you don't do that. And I thought, Jesus, take the wheel. You need to drive right now, Lord, because I'm wanting to be a Mack truck. So I go over there like a good boy, and I just give her the TV box. You know why? The Bible says, blessed is the peacemaker. You don't say blessed is the one that pops them teeth and helps her get false teeth. Smacks her around. But anyhow, back to my story. That one right there was for somebody. I've done passed the test. Wasn't for me. It's a good one. So anyway, back to the story. I thought, woman preacher on TV. Shouldn't he be on TV? I go out there, and lo and behold, I come out of Walmart, and I'm just going to push my buggy like I know, and I heard her. You know, it wasn't her. The Holy Spirit used her voice. Put your buggy back. I thought, great. This can't be God. Put your buggy back, man. What's the big deal here? It's a buggy. See, it wasn't about the buggy back. It was about the heart. I put my buggy back, and I'll get people's buggies and put them back too now. I pull up there, and they park them everywhere. I go put them back. See, that might not be a big deal to you, but it makes me feel good to get in my truck to know that I obey God and God's pleased with my actions. I mean, as the Bible says, when our ways please the Lord, he'll make even our enemy. That's why Satan's scared of me. He's scared of me. He's scared of you. He's scared of this church. He trembles at the name of Jesus. I mean, those Jesus said, go in my name. See, you got to believe that word. You're in the name of Jesus. Let God's word be first place in final authority in your life. You're in the name of Jesus. You're a king and a priest. Listen, I was thinking about it today. I remember back when my broke self, when I didn't have nothing, it was hard to keep my head high because the Westons had a bad reputation of stealing and all fighting and all kinds of stuff. You know, don't go swimming and leave your car unlocked and you can keep your windows. I'm not proud of that life. That wasn't me. I'm a new creation. Right? Old things pass away, behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. So I had to start believing. I was thinking about this afternoon, Lord. I thought, Lord, I had to believe, put your word first place in my heart that I'm a king and a priest unto God. I had to meditate on that, Lord, that I was not going to just be a nobody all of my life. See, I was told that. The Westons had a bad reputation. I mean, you know, we were raised 17 of us. You try to feed 17, you might not have no money. And we would steal your egg sandwiches out of your house. The neighbor fixed them for us after we broke in her house and cooked us some eggs and stuff. She figured out it was us. Well, I'll feed the bunch before they break in the house. We'd take your refrigerator, you know. And so I had to start believing, putting God's word first place in my heart, that I'm a king and a priest unto God. And you know what? The Lord spoke to me. He said, there was a time, son, he said, when you couldn't believe that about yourself. He said, do you remember? And I said, yes, Lord, I remember, Lord, how I felt, Lord, that I'm just a nobody, that I'll never be anybody, Lord. I said, but I believed your word. If I got it in my heart and really got it to living in my heart, Lord, that it would cause me to walk different. I don't think broke anymore. I could be broke and I'm still rich. Well, that's because you own your own business. You ain't heard nothing. We're talking about God's word, not a job. We're talking about God's word, not a time, not a place, not a person, not a church. I used to tell God, I wish somebody would give me and Teresa a break. Lord, we can own our own house. We can own our own house. I said that, and I was expecting sometime or another somebody in the church feeling sorry for us and happiness. You know, that was just my thinking and my expectation. And I'm going down the road one day, and I told the Lord that. I said, Lord, I wish somebody would give me and Teresa a break, Lord. Maybe we could have a nice car. Maybe we could have a house, Lord. Maybe I could just pay my rent. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I've already give you a break, and you don't put your trust in man. He said, his name is Jesus. He said, I gave you a break, and I've left you an inheritance. And it's all yours, but you got to pursue me and go after me. And God spoke to me one time. It just in my heart, he said, if you'll follow me, he said, I'll bring you to the place to where you want nothing. And you know what? At that time, I couldn't even see getting a nice car. And so I just began to meditate on that. And I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I don't see anything happening, Lord. See, what I was doing was putting God's word first place and final authority. Whatever God said to me, I believed it. I just wanted to believe it. Lord, help me believe what you're saying. If your word says that I'm healed, then I'm not going to go around walking around telling everybody how the arthritis is trying to get me. I'm not going to walk around telling everybody, Grandma had this disease, so I'm going to have it too. It's just part of my life. Lord, I'm not going to. Your word says, by Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. So I've got, Lord, I've got to take that word and get that word in there and think that and sleep that and speak that and say that. Didn't think I looked too good, but boy, I'm handsome. But God, I'm a knockout. I'm a knockout at 53. Praise God, I look real good. I mean, I'm sharp, man. I'm a major blessing. I feel it too. I'm like, you know, God told me one time, you know, hey, we shouldn't brag on ourselves. I said, I'm not. I said, the Bible says it. It says for me not to think more highly. It don't say don't think highly of myself. He says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You don't say, man, I really enjoy it. I mean, I wanted to commit suicide one time. Now I think, how stupid was that? You can't even get me to think those thoughts now. I'm like, you're an idiot. You're not going to get me to think that. Man, commit suicide, the best days of my life are ahead of me. I mean, I'm popping cows left and right, man. I was expecting 2 or 3 years before I had any calves. I done had them in within 5 months. I got 7 calves already, man. I'm up there looking at another one. She looks pretty fat now. She looks pretty fat. Then I'm like, glory to God, I can just back a trailer up here, get this old dude over here, get me about 7 grand right quick. Just a bunch of cows. Well, the Bible says everything I set my hands to do prospers. But I got to be doing something. You got to be seeking the Lord, being doing whatever God's telling us to do, we got to be doing. The Bible says in James, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. I didn't write that. God told me one time, he said, if you're not a doer, you'll deceive yourself. He said, you don't even need Satan to deceive you. He said, you will deceive yourself. And so we're out there, and Travis, he comes up there, and now I'm working on my barn. Been standing there looking at a lean-to. It's just a lean-to for months. You know, lumber went up. I mean, 2x6s went up from $7 to $15. 2x6, $12. Right in the middle of it, I'm believing God, and I thought, well, but God, I don't really care. Well, I'm up there on Facebook, and there's a guy in the marketplace. And I called him up. He said, I'll cut you some rough cuts for $6 a piece. I said, cut me 80 of them. We're out there, me and Travis, I'm making it look like an old, you know, like you'd watch them on them cowboy movies. Right up that old rustic-looking barn with rough cut one-bys all around, you know, and all that. Got my lean-to started off. And Travis, he took a picture of it, put it on Facebook, helping Dad. And then I put a picture of Trump like that, and I said, working on my future. See, I'm working on my future. I'm up there, and I'm like, God, your word says everything I set my hands to do will be a blessing. I don't have to see it right now, but this is going to end up, and it's going to bless me. It's going to bless your church. The more I make, the more I tithe. I believe in tithing. I tithe $10. It was hard to tithe $10 off $100. You hear me? I went every week. Teresa put me on. You know, God, the word says he wants us to be good stewards in the Bible. Well, we read that in the Bible back there, broke. Good steward. And Teresa gets on top of it. Oh, she's going to be a good steward now. And it put me on a $10 a week salary. Mac, that's all I had to eat on all week. Working from 5 to 5. Toting sheetrock. Got saved, working minimum wage. I'm making 200 something a week. We're not even getting by. At that time, they'd been cutting our lights off. Every other month, they'd cut our lights off because they didn't have the money. But see, I was faithful to buy a $45 bag of marijuana every week. I bought it every, I don't cut the lights off, get a bag of Doritos and a gallon of milk, baby, to munch on, and we're done. That's all we need. And we'll be warm. We'll just cuddle up together. We still breathing each other's air then.
Oh, baby, I love you, I love you, I love you. Ooh, yeah.
So here we are, saved over there, get saved over there, and she puts me on $10 a week salary. I'm going to the Coleman County Jail up there, and there are cons in there. I know they're cons. They're not in there for going to Sunday school. So I'm preaching to them, and I'm feeling this love that I'd never felt towards these guys, you know, not the weird love, you know, some people weird. I'm feeling like, man, if they just get born again, they can come out of here and never have to come back again. That's the way I'm feeling, you know. And so I'm having passion towards them. Well, one of them conned me out of my $10 on a Sunday. Conned me out of my $10. Told Teresa,
that's all we got. That's the world. And you know, you shouldn't have let them, the cons, they conned you out of that. I heard it. And I'm like, well, I'll just blame God.
And sure enough, that week, you know, I did suffer. I learned some things. But nobody ever brought me a biscuit, and I was getting biscuits at work. Nobody gave me cold drinks, and I was going delivering on jobs thirsty. I didn't have no money. None. You work 5 to 5, and you just deal with it. Stopped up here at Rainbow, had to go to Arab. This is right after I got saved. Had to go to Arab up there, and boy, I was hungry. I'd done come in at 5 o'clock, and I was working, you know, no money. And I was hungry, and I'm going up through the road, and I looked over there, and there were some of the prettiest tomatoes I'd ever seen in my life in a garden. And boy, I just whooped in that driveway, honked my horn, dude come out, and I said, reckon I could get a few of those tomatoes right there to eat? I'll come pay you. I don't have any money, but I'll come back. Oh, buddy, here, he picked me a whole basket. I ate maters. Woo, baby, I think that's why I like them today. God bless me with them maters. But you know, that was God showing me, I'll supply all of your needs. He called that to happen. Well, you know what? Praise God. I went to my pastor and I was telling him about the story. And he said, Brother Scotty, he said, you're not there to meet their financial needs. I said, what? Don't give them your money. He said, you're there to lead them to Jesus. He said, you're there to lead them to Jesus. He said, then he'll supply their needs like he does yours. He said, the only way you need to give your money to people, I'm telling you this, is led by the Spirit of God. I've had my own family mad because I wouldn't take church money and put their dopers up in the motel. I was a bad pastor, false prophet, because I wouldn't put my sister's boy up. He'd got out of jail. He wasn't in jail for, he did it for drugs.
Well, y'all are quiet.
In other words, you're not obligated to take care of people. They got the same Jesus we got. They got the same. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, God's liable to tell you to give all of it to them. Give it, but you be led, not by their need, not by any of that. And God, because sometimes God wants them to turn to him that on the bottom. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Today, I'm not broke. I'm not sick. I'm not weak. I'm not weary. I'm not looking for reading not to come to church. I'm ready to gear up. I'm ready for next year. Ready to hear. I'm going to preach the whole year out and the new one in. Up in Lord, door done open for me. And I thought, yes, Lord. That's the best thing you could be doing is preaching this whole year. This has been a rough year for a lot of folk all over the world, this COVID thing. But you know what? The best is yet to come. We've seen his glory, hallelujah. Through all of this year, God has been good. We ain't seen much going on. Get your Bible out, turn that TV off, and be a doer of the Word of God. Get that Word. I was telling one of my brothers, he's like, well, I can't figure out what in the world's wrong with man. Blah, 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 blah. And he don't go to church. That's one of his problems. Faith comes by hearing. Well, I listened to Benny Hinn on TV. That's not where God wants you. Listen to Benny Hinn like you eat your big meal, then you get you some ice cream afterwards. It's a dessert. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, sounds like you've got the same issue as the woman in the Bible. She had an issue of blood, bleeding to death. Went to all the doctors. This woman had money, and the Bible says she spent all she had and got worse. Well, that's what he's done, is got worse. And I told him, I said, listen, man. I said, you're going to have to get the Bible. You're going to have to, I want you to come to church. Church, I don't feel like coming to church. Why don't come to church? We don't, none of us. I said, that's where we go past. I bet that woman with the issue of blood, she didn't feel like getting out either. That life is in the blood. She's done bleeding, hemorrhaging on the inside. And the life is in the blood. She's been bleeding for a lot of years. Imagine, she could have been weak, Mac. I don't know. She's bleeding to death from the inside. Hallelujah. And she's been in having this a long time. And all of she, and you know what? She heard about this Jesus coming. He's coming through. He's healing. I don't know what all she's heard, but she's heard about it. And the Bible says that she said in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She didn't say in her heart, I'm going to lay here and cry out when he comes by. Lord, help me, please help me. See, at the time, this woman, she was quarantined. She could actually, at that time, if she had come out in the public, they would have stoned her to death. Stephen was stoned to death in about the same era and all this. Punishment come through stoning to death. Stephen was stoned to death. Jesus stood up. Stephen said what Jesus said. Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Sounds like love, don't it? See, we've got to let God's word be first place and final authority when it comes to the situations and thinking in our lives, with our kids, with our finances, hallelujah. You know, I told Travis today, I said, you know what, I was talking about people. I said, you know what, I said, anybody that gets a job and goes to work and follows the Lord. See, a lot of them, Mac, they think they got to have $20 an hour because they got so much rent. But they figured it all out on their own, what they got to have, and they sit there and don't get nothing. Travis, one time my brother called him up. Hey, you want to come roof? That's hard work, Mac. I did it. Travis, he wants to pay me. How much do I offer you? $7 or $8 an hour. Now he's used to making more with daddy. You know. So he calls me up. I said, listen, son, we're a little slow right now. I said, if you make $50 a day, that's more than what you got. And you can take Beth out and eat and all that. What am I doing? I mean, he could say, Dad's just a judger. Judge me. Want me to work $7. Who do we think we are? God opens opportunity. You know, have you ever heard the story, dude out in the ocean drowning? He said, oh, Lord, deliver me, Lord, deliver me, Lord. Airplane, helicopter comes by. No, I'm waiting on the Lord. The helicopter passes on by. Ship comes by. Hey, buddy, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. Ship passes by, he drowns. The Lord sent the helicopter and the ship. But he didn't want to get on. He's waiting on the Lord. I told the Lord, I was laying on my couch because I've been called to preach about ever since I got born again. And I'm laying on my couch one day, and I've got this great big vision, Mac. I'm going to go full-time in the ministry. What that means is I ain't going to tote sheetrock no more. I ain't going to do no labor. I'm just going to preach. They're going to write me a check, and I'm going home. You know, and I'm in the Lord, I'm laying there, and I'm telling the Lord, oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the doors opening up, Lord, for me to go preach. I'm off on a tangent in my mind. I done quit my job, Mac, done quit. Quit my job, I'm a preacher. Laying there one day, and I said, oh, Lord, anoint me. He said, why do I want to anoint you? You're not going to do nothing. Mac, I'm going to the mailbox at 11:30. Every day to see if there's a check in there. Waiting on the Lord. He said he'd supply. I mean, quote the scripture. The Lord will supply all of my needs according to his riches. Go up in the mailbox, nothing. We got down to just pinto beans, baby. We've had pinto beans, and that's all we've had to eat before. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, what, Lord, what's wrong going on, Lord? Why am I, you know? And the Lord said, go back to work. He said, go back down there and tell them you're sorry for quitting. I thought, no, Lord, I can't go. They're going to make fun of 30 people down there. I've been working ever since. They say you can't work, preach, liars. I've been full-time in ministry since I was 27 years old. And I've worked full-time jobs ever since I've been saved. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he will work. He will bless the works of my hands. Hallelujah. See, and it's all in obeying the Lord. And I told Teresa the other day, I said, you know, well, I won't tell you that. We don't lack food, though. You can tell I'm overweight. Mac, I was 163. I think I'm 180 now. Give me that scripture. That he's asleep. Hey. He knew it. Look, this is Jesus now. You see, he said there's two foundations he's talking about here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, what? Heareth what? The Bible. The Word. Right? Talk about the Bible. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, and what? Somebody say, does them. I will like him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Go ahead, Zach. And the rain descended, light bills come, blowouts, refrigerator blows up, half the planet's mad at you, you lose your job. Guy come to me one time, was in that back part back there. Oh, Brother Scotty, I done heard the rumor down there. They're going to give pink slips. They're fixing to start laying people. He get worried, Mac. I looked at him and I said, praise God. He said, praise God. I said, praise God. I said, don't let that scare you. I said, black God, if they give you a pink slip, God's got another door for you, black God. I said, you know, if they give you one, I said, praise God, you just leave out there with that pink slip in the air, and you praise God all the way up to your car, and you praise him all the way. Well, you know what? He didn't lose his job. They laid off other folks, and he got a raise. He actually was believing God for a house and didn't think he could afford one. He's done been in it now. They believed God for a long time. God told me, he said, have a miracle service. Have a service on Friday night. I thought, man, nobody going to come out on Friday night. Man, they go in the movies and all that stuff. Y'all remember it, Sandy? I said, and I told the church, I said, bring you an offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever you believe in God for, bring you an offering. They'd been looking 5 or 6 years and couldn't find what they wanted or whatever. 3, 4, 5 years for their house. Brought them an offering. Give that offering in there. Wasn't just about a month and a half. They live over here on County 1. Nice place. About 7, 8 acres of land. Just moved in their nice house. Hallelujah. Didn't you? You know what? That guy, the last time he got pulled over here in Bluntsville, he come to church. He was after one of my little flock. He liked the little blunt-headed chick he's married to now, and they got a kid. He just coming to church just for her. He ain't listened to that word. And so I told the Lord, I said, I'm all right, Lord, better save him pretty quick because I'm not going to let him mess up my flock here. But God, get that boy saved. He ain't going to drag her out of church, you know, because she coming to church. But the last time he got pulled over here in Bluntsville, they told him he was a menace to society. They told him he was a menace to society. He was an alcoholic. Drunk in the morning, drunk at the noontime, drunk in the afternoon. And you know what, praise God? He ended up getting saved, played on the praise team. I mean, just went after the Lord, got his own house now, nice car. They drive nice cars. Following this Jesus. Being doers of the word of God. He come to me one time, he said, I don't think we're ever going to prosper. I don't make a lot. I said, you know, little is a lot when God's involved in it. I said, it don't take a lot for the anointing to get on it and make things happen. I told Travis, you know, we was talking about somewhat down these lines. I teach my son things at 28 years old and make him, get him to get, keep him stirred up on realizing you make what you make because God has, we're in his will. I said, there's nowhere I could go to make the money I make. I didn't start out making that kind of. I followed the Lord and sowed and give and tithe and waited on God and believed and dreamed and wouldn't quit church, you know, wouldn't get offended. Some of you, you're going to have the opportunity to get offended. Offended at your brother. Did you know the Bible says for you to love one another? It says for us to love one another. He didn't put a conditioner. Somebody come in here and I'm doing kind of like I do now. They want me to read Bible scripture. And the whole time I've been doing it till they come. I don't know it. And so I'm not getting any scripture. So I'm just preaching like I do sometimes, you know. They come to me and says, you know, you're not reading the Bible. I said, you're the reason why this is happening to me. I said, you got a problem with me, don't you? I said, you ain't got a problem with me. You got a problem with God. He ain't let me get to no scripture. I said, so God sent you here to get your heart straightened out. Hey, don't start telling me something wrong with me. I've been here a long time, homeboy. I'm just here following the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't something wrong with you. I said, don't get offended and leave. Change. Well, if I love him, I got to let him know. Listen, I'm not your problem, man. I'm going to leave here, man. I'm going on. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. I know what it is to sit in church and get thumped on the back of the ear and not turn around and punch their teeth out. One of my deacons did it to me. If you'd have punched me, if you'd have thumped me on the ear back before I got saved, bless God, we going down. I mean, ain't going to be some dust flying. And I sat there, and I'm mad from my toes to my ears. And I didn't move, because if I thought if I moved, I'm going to dive over that bench when I turn around. And then it ain't going to be funny. I had those thoughts. Because I'm thinking, number one, I'm trying to listen to the word here. I'm trying to hear. I drove 45 minutes to church. I don't got time for this foolishness. My life's in shambles. But you know what? I sat there and I said, Lord, I'm like Stephen. I just forgive him, for he don't know what he's doing. He just don't know what he's doing, Lord. The Bible didn't say love him if you don't thump your own ear. Right? Jesus said that if I will hear his sayings and do them, I'll be like a house built on the rock. There's the next parable. Give me that next parable. Y'all still okay? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. If you go home and you know, my sister got mad at me one time about her boys. You know, you mess with people's kids. There's two things. You mess with people's money and their kids, and they'll get upset at you. I know I didn't teach my son how to beat them up on the bus. I tried to beat him up, and I was just too slow, and they'd hit me and knock me under the. I'd come back out, and they'd hit me again. My big brothers had to take care of him when they got on the bus, you know. Travis, they bullied him, and I thought, okay, Lord, but God, I'm going to help him. I'm going to help them out. Lord, they won't do this much, and I'm going to teach him how to bust their teeth out. Don't even mess with you, Buster. I mean, I wanted to teach him the way I was raised. So I'm telling you, I'm all this, I'm led by the Lord for some reason tonight. This ain't the way I thought this was going to go. But this is why, I mean, God, all of this is going to cause us to prosper. And so I taught Travis to forgive on the bus. If you get in trouble and you fight, you're going to get a whipping at home, and then we're going to make sure they whip you at school. Why? Because the Bible says, love your enemies. right? It didn't say teach your kids to hate them. It's bullying in school. But I know how the emotional trip there is. Poor old Travis. Boy, he didn't hurt it. Look at him. He's fine. He made it just fine. But I taught him to love them. And you know what? The very one that was bullying him became his best friend later on. Not because he busted his teeth out. This right here works, friend. It works. Love your enemies. Teach your kids to love their enemies. Teach your kids to do good to them that bully them. Let them take them a hamburger. Take them a dollar. Take them $5. Bless the enemy. Bless them. My sister got mad at me, and I said, where are you at? Why? I said, well, I just wonder where you're at. I told that devil, I said, I'm fixing to bust your teeth out with a $100 bill. You know what? I carried my sister a $100 bill. She ain't been mad at me since, Mac. $100 bill, whip that devil. See, somebody that's mad at you, cook them a cake. You listen, cook them a cake. You see them on the side of the road, don't spit on them. Listen, there's a dude over here riding a bicycle. I believe he had something to do with the guitar deal. He comes across, and he's on the bicycle, and I had this thought, run over him. It was an accident. He was just too close, you know. I could have got by with it. Just run over him. Hit him. Boof. Right quick. Boo. Up. Sorry, dude. You okay? Oh, let me help you up. Let me drag you over here and put you on the tire. Oh, sorry. I thought I had it in reverse. I had the thoughts, man. Run over him. You know he's guilty. But you know what I got to do? Pray for him. If he did, pray for him. See, we can't let the enemy get to us. He's after my money. He's after my marriage. He's after my ministry. He's after my joy. He's after my peace. He's after the things of the kingdom. The Bible says that Scotty will seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added in Luke over there. Seek the kingdom. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. It didn't say I got to be a pushover. I told the neighbors over here that knew the door was open for 2 weeks. I said, you are responsible for that going out of my church. You are. I said, I've helped you and blessed you. And I said, this church is not going to be robbed from. That don't sound like love. No, that's bold as a lion. Bold. I wasn't accusing nobody. You knew our door was open. Why didn't you call the law? You see somebody over there, if you're a good neighbor, you call the law. Nobody got no business on this property. Call the law. I've got no trespassing signs. Call the law. Well, I'm going to force these neighbors to call the law. But I called the law and sat here for an hour and a half. Jesus. Law showed up. I'm like, oh, man, it's an 18-year-old over here. He barely didn't make it up on the porch. You know, and now I got to get to the punch shop. We're having church, and it closes at 7, and I'm thinking all this stuff. And so I looked at him. He's got his little notepad. And I said, she's sitting right back there. I said, she's going to give you all the information. I got to go to the punch shop. He looks at me like, what you going to the punch shop for? I said, see, we got to get a base. We got to have church in the morning. I'm already thinking victory. I'm thinking, get on out of here and get us a base, man, where we can have. See, you got to think victory-minded when things are not going your way. I'm not just talking about my story here. Bless God, I'm talking about we're blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the fruit of our bodies. No weapon formed, but it's not going to work if we're not being doers of the Word of God. I'm telling you, walking in love is one of the most powerful things we can do after we get born again. Because we're living in a hate-filled world. We're living in a world where you can try to talk to somebody about Jesus and you're judging them all of a sudden. You're judging me? Are you judging me? No, the Word judges you. You're dead in your sins. That is Scotty judgment. I give marital counsel one night, and I wouldn't side with him. You know, I wouldn't side. She's like,
he's sorry.
And then he's over here,
no, she's sorry.
I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, y'all both sorry. He thinks she's sorry. She thinks he's sorry. She thinks he's the problem. He thinks she's the problem. And I told him, I said, y'all are both wrong. They went on, got a divorce, and then blamed it on me. I'm serious. Don't get counsel from that dude down there at Faithway Christian Center. He's a false prophet. He caused us to get a divorce. I'm like, really? Caused y'all to get a divorce? Really? Y'all wouldn't? I said, the Bible says for you to love your wife. Ah, she'd take advantage of me. Well, you just said God don't know what he's doing. Right? Once I started loving Teresa, once I started loving her as Christ so loved the church, I seen her in different eyes. I didn't see how mean she really was to me anymore. I saw her as a little love bug. I thought I saw her as everything funny, everything she said. She gets mad, her finger goes, if her finger's ever crooked pointing at you, she's real mad. You know, if she ain't, she points straight. But when she gets mad, that finger's like, poof. And she's got this one eye, I call it the Myrick eye. She's got a Myrick eye. You don't see it, you see it, Sandy, a little bit. But you don't really notice it nearly closes when she's real mad. I mean, if she's got one eye open and one eye nearly closed, I'm shutting up. I mean, it's a true sign from heaven that if I don't want to go meet Jesus, just back off. I call it the Myrick eye. I'll tell her, there goes that Myrick eye. See you, baby. Got to get out of here, praise God. But you know, go on, give me that other right. Come on, cover this right quick before we quit. Go ahead, give me another. We done passed the foundation. Go back. We passed. Something happened. Go back. Go on back. Go on back. Go on back. Okay, anyway, let me just read it. Let me just quote it to you. I know what it says. It says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built a house on the rock. Then it goes on, he said, but he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the sand. Now we read that when the floods come and all of that, the house that's built on the rock, and we can just take it in the natural. I mean, they don't just go pile lumber on sand and build a house. They go dig down, if it's sandy or whatever, not good ground, they dig down till it's solid. Then they pour a footer. Then they put the block on top of the footer. That way the house is solid when it's up, you know. It ain't just all of that stuff. He said, if we're doers of the word, we'll be like that house. The rains come, the floods, the trials, the tribulations, the marital trouble, the finance, you're having to wait. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. He's doing things in your heart that you don't know what he's doing, and I don't know what he's doing that's preparing us for the house. I couldn't handle prosperity before God did some things. I mean, I really couldn't. I mean, I'm laying there one night, and I'm like, I'll pay my mama's house off, my sister's house off, Lord, when I get $1 million. You know, I'll do this for my sister and my brother. And about 2 weeks later, I told the Lord again, I said, Lord, when that $1 million comes in, I'll pay my mama's house off, my sister's, I'll put my mama in a good house. He said, that's why I can't give it to you. He said, you didn't one time say you'll see what I want to do with it. See, good intentions ain't always God. You know, and you know what, praise God, all of them that I said I would do that for, the ones that started serving the Lord, you know, I had one brother, he went through and couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, That other brother, he ain't serving the Lord. This other one's serving the Lord. Went to the doctors, couldn't figure out what's wrong with him and all that. Last time I talked to him, he said, I'm done with the doctors, bless God. The Bible says for me to not put my trust in man. He said, I done spent all the money I'm going to spend on top of my insurance. He said, now I'm waiting on the manifestation of 1 Peter 2:24. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. He said, and I'm walking it out now, and I'm going to wait on the manifestation in my body. I'm already healed. That's somebody with faith. And the other one, somebody that he told me, well, they got me another specialist. I said, how many you done been to? Oh, this is the fifth one. I said, so this is the fifth one. I said, the last one cut your wrist to help your back? I'm serious, man. I mean, his back's hurting, his feet and all that. And they done surgery on his wrist. I'm like, how far away is that? That's like trying to put a roof on, take block out down there to put a roof on. I said, nah, man, you get up on top of the house, you know. And I told him, I said, you got to get in the Word. You got to, and I told him the story about Teresa. I'm going to close with this. See, this right here, I'm not preaching to you. This Word here, Psalmist David said, Lord, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. If you want to know where your path is going, if you want to know where you're walking in safety of the Lord, the Word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Hallelujah. Teresa got diagnosed with, what was that garbage? Drunk vertigo. Like most people get head injuries and stuff, and that happens to them. All of a sudden, she's got vertigo. Vertigo, you drunk and ain't drank to bed. You go from driving, you can't drive no more. You go from mowing our yard, you can't mow no more. You can't do Sunday school no more. You can't cook for me no more. You can't go get the grandkids. We can't spend time with the grandkids. It disrupted our whole life. She sleeps straight up on the couch for almost a year. She can't go to bed. She's nauseated, all that stuff. The church didn't even know nothing about it at the time. I'm believing God, right? Well, go all the last doctor told her there's nothing we can do for you. This is just the way it is. I go in one day at home, and I walked in, and it put a whole lot on me because I'm having to do things for the church that she had been taking care of. Now I got to mow the yard, got to go to work, got to pastor the church, got to cook, got to bring home food. Everything fell on me, you know. Anyways, I come in one day, and I started through there to the bedroom, and she looked at me sitting on the couch, and she said, I'm stuck in this body. In other words, I'd like to get up, but I can't. I'd like to drive. I'd like to go back to life as normal, but here I am stuck in this body. And it really tore my heart right then, you know, because I didn't know what to say. So I go through there, and I say, Lord, what do I do, Lord? I've already been fasting. I've already been seeking the Lord. I've already been confessing the Word, you know, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, tell her she's got to fight. I said, fine. So I walk back through there. She's coming to church, doing Sunday school, knows the Word. Woman knows it. She'd been a Bible student, 15 chapters a day most of her life. Read about every book I can think of, you know. See, it ain't what you know that gets you results. It's what I do with what I know that gets me results. That's why Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine, do them. Something happens. If you don't, something happens. Both ways. Anyways, I walked back in there, and I said, Teresa, you got to fight. I believe in God. That's exactly what she said. I'm believing God. I said, listen. I said, there's a difference in believing and fighting. Satan believes God and trembles. I said, there's a difference in believing God and fighting. Don't the Bible tell us in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold? It don't say believe God. We done believed in God. We done put our trust in God through Jesus, right? We done it. We done believe in God. And so, when I come in that afternoon, you know what was on? Preaching. Praise and worship. Preaching. No more movies. No more secular TV. you know, which we don't listen to secular music anyhow. We've been, you know, Christian music for 20-something years, you know, just ain't got no desire for it. Scripture's on the refrigerator. By his stripes I'm healed. All of these scriptures, she's holding to the walls when nobody's there. See, it ain't when the church is around cheering us on and clapping us on and we're under the anointing. No, listen, it's easy in here to believe God. It's easy. But the challenge is when you out there in life is throwing these curveballs and trying to mess your life up and trying to steal your future and shatter your dreams, that's when you got to fight. She's going out on the back porch two or three times a day because we learn. See, the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, listen, he said, take your medicine. Don't quit taking your medicine. He said, take your medicine, he said, and proclaim that you're healed. I'm working in conjunction with your medicine. He said, let it be a reminder. He said, just like the doctor tells you, you know, if you got an infection, take 7 days of antibiotic. And you know, the doctor will say, now make sure you follow out the whole 7 days. Why? The doctor knows you need the 7 days. The Lord said, you take my word just like you take medicine. He said, prescribe yourself medicine, the word. Well, you know what? I went around for years saying, sin has no dominion on me because I had a lot of sin in my life after I got saved. A lot of issues, Mac. I wasn't just saved and then everything's just straightened out in my life. I went around for years saying sin has no dominion over me according to Romans, Lord. But anyways, Teresa goes, and you know what? I came in one day, and the fiction opened the door up, and the door opens up. And I jumped back. It was Teresa. Had her keys in her hand like this. She said, let's go. I rushed to get the keys, and she said, I'm driving. I said, oh, God. I mean, it's crazy, man. You don't get in a car with somebody done drank a fifth of whiskey. That's about the way it was. She just nauseated and drunk. And then I thought, okay, I got the angels, Psalms 91. Bless God, they'll watch out for me. Praise God, and I'm buckling up, though. I don't normally buckle up, you know. I got in there, and I told the Lord, I said, I thank you, Lord, for my angels. Bless God, it's going to ride with us today. She said, see, she said, heal people, drive. See, that's fighting the good fight of faith. That wasn't being stupid. She done been on the word and done got built up in her spirit and not watching nothing but preaching on TV and listening to praise and worship. And she's doing her part, Mac. All she's doing is fighting the good fight of faith. Whatever the area is in our life, we've got a part to play in God being able to move and do what he said he would do in his word. It's already done. Well, you know what? We went on. Seeing double. I was thinking, don't tell me. She's seeing two highways, two cows, two cars coming at us. Which one's real? I was thinking, man, don't tell me. I was doing good till you give me that report. But you know what? She cooks, Mac, now. And she mows the yard, and she does Sunday school, and black God, she'd get the grandkids. All I'm saying is victory was already hers, but she's sitting there thinking you're believing God when you got to get up and do something about it. You got to get up and fight, hallelujah. You got to get up and fight the good fight. Guy told me one day, he come up, he said, hey, Brother Scotty, Mr. Weston, pray for me that I get a job. I said, you got $10? Yeah. I said, give me an offer. I need a job. I said, I know it. I said, you need to give God an offering. For a job? I said, yes, for a job. You're believing God want me to pray that God will give you a job and you ain't got an offering? Give me an offering. He whoops out $10 and give it to me. I said, Lord, here's his seed in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, according to his seed. See, he had to do something. You need to do something other than just think that I'm going to pray for you and you get a job. I give him the $10 back later before we left. But I made him give God an offering. Give God an offering. I seen the dude had a revival and I run another revival. Seen him, boy, I cut through there. He jumped up, oh, Brother Weston, you ain't going to believe this. I got one of the best jobs I ever got in my entire life. over that offering. I said, well, I said, how long had you been believing God for a job? He said, for months and months and months. I said, you wasn't really believing. I said, see, your faith showed action then. I said, you was believing when you stepped out and said, I'm going to give God an offering, praise God. I'm going to give him an offering and believe that I'll receive what I'm asking him for, praise God. Well, you know what? Same way with Teresa. Already believing and quoting the scripture, 1 Peter. See, quoting scripture don't scare the Satan at all. He's under my feet. I walk on him. If you have to, I've kicked him. Some of you need to go anoint your house. Well, it just feels awful at my house. Well, do something about it. Go get the Crisco out. Get your cooking oil out. Go anoint them doors. Anoint them. Put the blood of Jesus over your doorpost. That's how I got Teresa saved. I greased the whole house up. Toilet and all. Toilet seat and all. We're going to get the anointing somewhere on you. But God, I did. I had that house greased down like, I mean, I had to go get something to hold on. She's cussing me out there because I had the grease on the outside of the doorknobs and all. And she couldn't turn it, you know, slip. She cussing me out. I even tell you what she said. She was a cusser, boy. I got saved, Mac. Guy on TV said, anoint your house. I thought, we don't believe in that anointing stuff. He said, anoint your house. So I anointed the whole house. She come in cussing me out. Just like we normally do. You know. What are you, Blanky, stupid? What sort of way you got all over this house? I had it on the ice trays. I mean, if she poured a glass of water, baby, you're going to get the anointing on you. I didn't even know what I was doing. Just obeying the Lord through the man of God there. Now, you know, I could have sat there and I could have said, I'm going to commit suicide, Lord. Grace is gone. Like I did. I done been there in that same living room with double-aught buckshot with all the pictures out, fixing to blow my brains out. The same living room. I got up and give my heart to Jesus, said, Lord, if you're really real, you know, help me, Lord. The same living room, same place. The Spirit of God came in my heart. And then the first thing I did, I thought I'm going to turn preaching on TV. I never thought that. Go over there and turn it on. He says, anoint your house. Some of y'all need to go home tonight. Thank God and anoint your house. I mean, take that Crisco and go through there and anoint that house feeling stupid and all. And say, Lord, I'm applying the blood of Jesus. I'm anointing this house, Lord. 2021 is going to be the best year of my family's life in Jesus' name. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm going to be a doer. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to go down the roads, Lord, that I really don't want to go down. How many knows I've learned something about God? He don't send us down the road of least resistance. God wanted me to change, and he sent me Teresa. She used sandpaper. You know, they sand rusty cars down. They don't just paint over the rust. You can paint over that rust. It'll look good for a little while, and it's eating it up under it. They go sandblast that baby, primer it down, and then redo it. Well, that's what God does. He don't put Band-Aids on us. He reworks us from the inside out. I mean, he brings that new man, that new way of living, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying it religiously, I wouldn't turn back to this world for $1 million. I'm telling you right now, I would not turn my back on the Lord. It ain't because I'm afraid of going to hell. I told my sister one time, she was all religious, she couldn't win nobody to Jesus. Because she's telling me going to hell, you know. I already knew that. She told me one time, she said, if you don't get right, you're going to hell. Now, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to party in hell with the devil. You got it? I said, I'm going to be the life of that party in hell. Which I was wrong. I'm just letting her know, don't come up here and intimidate me with this Jesus. I can't smoke no marijuana. I can't do no more cocaine. I can't go bowling. I can't commit adultery no more. Y'all want me to get saved? How funny is that? Y'all walk around with a Bible under your hand going to church. Yes, Jesus loves me. I done been made to go to church. Mom and them made me go to church once in my life. maybe twice. I done seen all of that, you know. And I'm thinking, that's what they have fun doing? But there wasn't no life in that church. Once that life came in me down there, church is worth doing. If you got Jesus in you, church is worth doing. Jesus is worth doing. Forgiving's worth doing. Praise God, and I've got to turn y'all loose. But you know what? We ain't working tomorrow, are we? Shoot, I'm going to sleep late in the morning. I try to, Max. 6 o'clock, usually awake. I'm going to renew my mind tonight. I'm going to get lazy in the morning. Body, get lazy right now. It just won't be lazy, Max. I was thinking, what's tomorrow, Christmas Eve? I got to do stuff tomorrow. I'm thinking, oh, man, nah, I got to stay home tomorrow. It's Christmas Eve. It's amazing, Johnny, what this kingdom does to you. It's to make you a go-getter. You know, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray.